Welcome to Film Strip Sessions. Our kickoff to the 2024 year is here. I'm Jay, one of the many co-hosts of the Film Strip podcast, and I'm so happy to have on friend of the pod and soon to be co-collaborator. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Anthony from Tis the Podcast. Anthony, thanks so much for coming on and talking Film Strip Sessions with me and just kicking off the year with me, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jay. I was very honored to be asked and excited when I found out what the topic was going to be.
Absolutely. We'll get to that in a sec, but since I teased it, we might as well just go ahead and tell everybody now. You and I are starting I don't even want to call it a spinoff. It's just an extension podcast of what you and I are doing here with Filmstrip, Tis the Podcast, and our never-ending text chain of movie discussions. You and I are starting a show called Change My Movie Mind. And what is that all about?
Oh, you're asking me. Basically, one of us will present a movie opinion and try to change the other one's mind, essentially. For example, can we tease what's coming up?
No, let's just keep that behind the scenes. We got lots of stuff coming, but you know, you're right. It's going to be movie-related topic. One of us will take one side, the other will take the other. Not in like completely traditional debate format, but somewhat so. But the big fun is we're bringing on a lot of our friends from the pod family to be our independent judge of each episode. So we've got some cool people lined up, and you and I are going to get that kicked off later this month. The way to get that show, you don't have to go anywhere else, folks. Subscribe to Filmstrip, subscribe to Tis the Podcast. You'll get it on both feeds and should be a lot of fun. So we've talked about this for like a year and a half. So it's finally fun to finally get it off the ground.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. And we have some great topics lined up. And another topic just came out of the blue on Twitter the other day, or X, and we're gonna have some fun arguing.
Yes, yeah, it's all in good fun, all in good fun. But it should be a good time. But anyway, Film Strip Sessions, for those that maybe are new to our show, we used to do a quarterly, monthly, depending on the year, of a show that was just not built around like reviewing a specific movie, but talking about like a movie related topic or entertainment related topic, and it's something I wanted to resurrect this year to have maybe quarterly, maybe more often, depending on what it hits. But Anthony and I have been talking about a lot of stuff coming up in 2024, so I thought it might be a great way to start the year to talk about movies we're excited about for 2024. And we have not shared lists. We don't know what each other's going to say. I have a feeling there might be some overlap, but we're going to kick it off with that. Just stuff that you're interested in seeing that's going to be released either streaming or to theaters in 2024, because let's face it, movies are coming at us from a lot of different directions, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I think I've taken advantage of the fact that some things are summer released and it's cool to sit and watch at home, and there's some things I make a dedicated effort to get to a theater for, and I know you do the same, Anthony.
Absolutely. 2024 is going to be interesting as well, because the strike lasted so long last year. We're not going to have as many releases as the previous few years.
Yeah, it's going to be different. And you were starting a side thing too related to movies that are coming out as well. Tell people about that.
Yeah, it's going to be called Caruso's Critics Corner. I see so many movies in theaters, especially thanks to AMC's Stubbs Premiere A-List thing, which honestly, if you're a movie buff, it's the best $25 you'll spend a month. But I'm going to start a YouTube channel just reacting to all these movies and trailers as they come out this year.
I am excited for that as well, man. We'll link that in the podcast notes here for everybody. But I'm pumped to watch that as well, because as someone who doesn't live near an AMC theater anymore right now, I miss that. And if I move back near one, I will be rejoining Stubbs, because I don't have one within 40 miles of me at this point. So.
If you want an idea how many movies I see per year, Stubbs just did their year in review email. I saw 67 in theaters last year. That's not counting everything stream, all the new stuff streaming. So
And this isn't news for anybody that listens to the show, but you're in New York, so $25 a month is a deal to see that many a year.
Yeah, I mean, you get like a ticket that's worth three movies per week, so 12 movies a month. You see two movies a month, it pays for itself. So.
Yeah, completely. Well, Anthony, let's go ahead and start with it, man. I'll kick it to you first. Movie that is coming out this coming year that you are excited to see.
Okay, I'm gonna start this off by saying a movie I was very excited to see already came out earlier this month.
Okay.
And that was Blumhouse's Knightsland.
Oh, yes.
And what a dud that was. And I'll leave it at that because
Oh.
I don't want to spoil it for your listeners, but huge disappointment. I believe I gave it 1.5 stars on Letterboxd, and I said, this is a horror movie. People who don't watch horror movies think all horror movies are. So I'll leave it
Oh,
at that.
I'm so glad you saved me 11:50 or whatever it would have been to try to go see this, because I was thinking about it even this weekend, didn't do it because I got this, and I mean this in all respect. I got this sort of faux Shyamalan feel off of this movie, and I was like, this feels like it could be a big disappointment. Maybe I should wait for Peacock or whatever it's gonna land on. I guess it's
You know what?
Universal, so that it might be Peacock actually, yeah.
Faux Shyamalan is actually a really good way to describe it. So
It
let's
kind of felt like that in the trailer, man. I was like, oh, this feels faux Shyamalan. You know, I hate that good horror movies are getting dumped. Or actually, I'm sorry, that horror movies are getting dumped in January and February to tease us horror fans because we know that these are garbage. Like, this is not good.
Yeah, my friend who I went with literally turned to me halfway through the movie and said, "Well, this is definitely a January movie." I was like, "Yes,
We all know what that means, right? Oh gosh.
it
Oh, well, I'm glad you said that because I was pumped about that one because the trailer again looked good, even with the Shyamalan-ness, looked good, but I had reservations. So thank you for saving me from that. There's one coming out in a couple of weeks, at least a couple of weeks from this podcast. We're doing this early January for anybody listening, you know, after the fact. I didn't know it was a thing until like a month ago because I saw the trailer for it. They remade friggin' Mean Girls and they're doing it after the Broadway musical, which I also didn't know it existed, which I should know because I love musicals. And I was like, okay. And it seems to be this one is much, I mean, Tina Fey's still involved. And I'm like, this seems to be much more focused on the Regina character than the Katie character, which I'm okay with because the Renee Rapp girl that plays Regina, I think, was in the Broadway version of it. And just watching it, like you watch the trailer and you're like, oh, they remade Mean Girls for like the 21st century. Okay, that'll be interesting because it's I'm not of the generation that Mean Girls was like a seminal thing for. I'm a little bit older than that, but I still appreciate that movie. I really like it. And I even rewatched it, you know, this year on quote Mean Girls Day because I was like, you know, why not? You know, I was at home. It was a
That's a
Saturday.
5-star movie, the original. Like, it's a
It's
great movie.
right. It's I don't know, five, but it's a four for sure. I mean, I forget what I gave it a letter, but I don't think I gave it a 3.5 or four. But it's good. It's really fun. And, but I'm curious about this because I did not know it was a musical. Like, and if you watch the trailer, you don't know that from it. Like, there seems like to be like dance sequences, but that could just be an intertitle. I didn't know it was a musical, but it's definitely a musical.
I find it so interesting that movies aren't marketed as musicals anymore. Wonka wasn't end of
Yeah.
last year. I'll be curious to see if Joker 2 or Wicked are later this year.
I think Wicked has to be like you have to know what
It
that
has to
is.
be with Ariana
Yeah.
Grande,
Yeah. I mean, you know what that is, but.
but I just find it so bizarre. I mean, I'm a huge musical fan, so maybe I'm
Yep.
biased, but just show us in the trailers.
Same. But I'm excited to see what Renee Rapp does as Regina George and what becomes of this thing. I will definitely go see that one. That will be one of those that I want to catch in theaters as well. So,
I have my tickets with Sarah to see it the 12th, Friday night,
very
subsequent Friday
nice,
night.
very nice. Yeah, I'll have to catch it after it premieres. I've got the work stuff going on early here, but I will definitely catch it when it comes to town, for sure. I'm gonna go next, and I'm gonna go one that's going direct to streaming here, Anthony. I'm gonna
Oh,
break your
okay.
mold a little bit, but it's one that's supposed to be coming out in March, straight to Amazon, and it's a remake slash requel, I hear, of a movie from the 80s that I just find to be seminal. And of course, I'm talking about Roadhouse, because Jake
Ah,
Gyllenhaal
yes.
has gotten himself jacked to play Dalton here. The classic Patrick Swayze role. Look, I love the original Roadhouse. It's all the 80s cheese, yes, but it's a lot of fun. And I'm curious to see what they do with this one. It looks like it's got a good cast. You got Joel Silver producing. I'm pumped for it, man. I don't know. I didn't know it was a thing. And then middle of last year, I heard like, oh, they're going to do this. And then I looked at the cast list and I was like, yes, I'm in for this. This looks like it will be right up my alley.
I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is what has me interested in this. I know he's upset they're not releasing it theatrically, as
Right.
was originally promised to him. Apparently, they actually went out to Bezos's yacht to screen the movie and try to convince them to show it theatrically. They're so proud of it. But they're just dumping it on streaming, which, whatever, that's fine. But
Yeah.
yeah, I'm very curious to see how this turns out. The original one for me is fine. I'm not a huge fan. So I'm open to a remake. And in general, remakes for me are not, it's not a bad word.
Yeah.
I don't mind a lot of remakes. So I'm interested. I'll definitely be there. Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the best actors in Hollywood right now, and curious to see what he does with the role.
Yeah, I agree with that. He always brings something interesting to a role. And so to see him step into this, I'm curious about. I watched Ambulance last year, the Michael Bay movie that dropped the Peacock or whatever. And that's a really good, I mean, one, it's just a good action movie, but it's also got a lot of heart to it, and he's really
Yes,
good in it. So
it does. Despite Michael Bay being at the helm, it was a good movie.
in spite of himself, Bay can make good movies, people. I promise you, he really can. So, all right, Anthony, what's next on your list?
Okay, so next on my list is actually currently undated. It was confirmed it was coming out this year. It is A24's Ty West directed Maxine.
Ooh.
The trilogy capper to Pearl and X, both movies came out of nowhere. X came out of nowhere for me. I saw that without even seeing a trailer, and I fell in love with that movie. Pearl was just as great, and I'm excited to see how he wraps up this trilogy. Mia Goth is, this girl is, in my mind, has cemented herself already as a horror icon, and I'm excited to see what she does in Hollywood overall. This girl has a lot of range and talent, and I'm excited to see her play, to take the character of Maxine into the 80s. I'm excited to see what the events of X with Pearl did to her psyche going forward. And if you look at the cast they added, I mean, Elizabeth Debicki, who just won the Golden Globe. Michelle Monaghan, Bobby Cannavale, Lily Collins, Giancarlo Esposito, Kevin Bacon. Like, come on, that's a stacked cast for a film set and the 80s porno scene, and I'm here for it.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. I loved X. I found out about it like everybody else did after the buzz, and I finally saw it. And then you wouldn't stop talking about Pearl. So I finally went ahead and watched, and I was like, oh, I get it now. I've loved Ty West stuff though since like House of the Devil and Innkeepers. I even think Innkeepers is still pretty good, but House of the Devil's a great one. You can go listen to the archives. Ron and I did it 1 years ago. But I watched that like every October or so. Like it's just a good like rewatch movie. But I think Ty West works so good in I just this is kind of weird to say like modern period pieces. In other words, he's doing the 70s and the 80s, but it's not the Rob Zombie 70s. It's the kind of the more Brady Bunch 70s, and then the 80s and the early 90s. I'm pumped for this one too, man. That's a great pull because I had forgotten that that was coming out, and I'm curious to see when they drop it. I think they're trying to see when some of the other big ones are coming, but I'll be honest with you, I think Maxine's got an audience, man. Put that puppy out early October. Let's have that in Halloween season.
Well, let's see. So X came out, I think, in March, and then they released Pearl, I think, I want to say it was August or September. So yeah, I would like this one to come out later in the year,
Yeah.
especially because, again, due to the strikes, I think the back end of the year is going to be pretty empty.
Yeah. Definitely looks like it. No, I agree. So, well, all right, Anthony, what's your next one up on the list?
So in no particular order, I have a lot of sequels on my list. Let's go Beetlejuice 2. Tim Burton and Michael Keaton's Beetlejuice 2. After 3 decades almost,
Yeah.
it's finally happening, and it's not the Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii plotline, as far as we
Thank
know.
God.
But the fact he got Michael Keaton to reprise the role as Beetlejuice, they're doing all the practical effects again. Winona Ryder is coming back as Lydia Deetz. Catherine O'Hara is coming back. Jenna Ortega is being added as Lydia's daughter. And then you throw in Willem Dafoe as a ghost detective. Like, this movie's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I'm excited to see the ghost of the most again. I hope it makes us a big splash with audiences, since Michael Keaton's return as Batman did not do that. But I think Beetlejuice is just such an iconic Halloween staple at this point. I think this is a guaranteed success, and I'm excited to see where the story goes after all these years.
Look, I'm with you. This was on my list too, Anthony, and I want to tell you why, because Alfred Gove and Miles Millar are involved in this, and they made Smallville, which is one of the best Superman adaptations ever done, hands down. Don't at me. I'm telling y'all that you will go watch that. That's good shit. And the fact that they're leaning into it, not only with a lot of the original cast, but Burton and Keaton have come out and adamantly talked about, like, this is loaded with practical effects. This is a throwback. This is a sequel to that movie. And we're not going to do Hawaii. We're not going to do stupid. We are going to do what we're doing. And here's the thing, man, that first Beetlejuice movie, it's two thirds great and then one third garbage. And that's the problem for me, is like the third of it like falls apart. Like, you listen to our review of it, Ron and Irina and I did that one a while back. And I love that movie up until the third act. It was like most Burton movies, it kind of falls apart. Also, like Stephen King novels, but that's another day on Donahue. And it doesn't entirely work, but I still keep going back to it, wanting it to be more than it is, which tells me it's got staying power. So I am pumped for this because Keaton is in his I don't care anymore phase. I'm gonna be me and do what I want, and I'm here for it. And Winona Ryder never went away, and Catherine O'Hara is a friggin' gem. So I'm there for that. Jenna Ortega is the
And
next It Girl. I like it. Yes.
plus Monica Bellucci, who I think is
Yeah.
very underrated. She's playing
Yes.
Beetlejuice's wife, and whether that means another ghost or like a he finally found a human woman to marry, I don't know, but I'm here for it.
Yes. You put in Justin Theroux and Willem Dafoe, I'm down. It's happening.
I always watching the original every year, despite the fact that I watch it every year, I am always surprised by how little Michael Keaton is actually in it.
Oh yeah, he's very much not a part of that movie.
And
So.
I'm interested to see. I don't think they'll have that restraint this time around, but we'll see. I'm almost getting the vibes and rumors and set pics leaking out. I don't know if you ever saw the cartoon where he was more of an ally than enemy. I almost get the feeling they may be going that route this movie, but we'll
You know what?
see.
Can I tell you, I would be okay with that. Like, I
I
actually
would
liked that
too.
cartoon. I thought that was
Oh,
a
I
good
thought the cartoon
idea.
was awesome. Yeah.
And I, as someone else, and I said this on that podcast at the time, the Beetlejuice musical fixed a lot of the plot problems with that movie. If they were to lean into more of that, I would be okay.
I'll die on the hill that the Beetlejuice musical is a better story than the movie any day of the week.
My friend, you and I are playing that flag together, because that is a 100% accurate statement. I agree with that. By the way, the music to that is incredible. I hate that I didn't get to see it when it was in its run, but COVID, dang it. So, for a lot of reasons. Well, I've got another one that's like a sequel to a franchise. I don't know if it's a sequel, it's a requel, it's an interquel. It's supposed to be between parts one and two, which are the, let's face it, the best ones of it. Alien Romulus is finally
Ooh.
happening. And it's supposed to be Fede Alvarez. I mean, he's directing it, that's for sure. But it's supposed to be in between Alien and Aliens, so that 57 years when Ripley's off in space. But it's going to be like young people or so, I don't know. It's like the CW Alien. I only want to watch it because I'm like, it's either going to be really good or it's going to be such a train wreck. I must witness it because I love the Alien franchise, even the bad ones. And or the complicated ones like Alien 3 and stuff like that. And I'm just curious to see what they do, because I feel like Ridley got off into this, I don't know, highfalutin mess with Prometheus, and then tried to bring it back down with Covenant and just made like a generic action movie. And I don't, there was nowhere else to go. And at this point, I don't want to know where they came from anymore, because the more you explain it, the worse it is. I want to see what they do with this, because I'm genuinely curious what's going to become of this, because they've already shot it. They're just finishing up the post-production on it now, and it's supposed to be out, I don't know, sometime in fall is the last I heard. So they're going
Well, it,
theaters with it. So
August 16th, 2024. Now,
yeah.
originally this was supposed to go straight to Hulu, but they
Right.
switched it. So I think that gives me hope. It's actually really good. I did love Prey in
But
terms of,
same. Yes.
I think
Look,
that should have gotten a theatrical release.
that and the new Hellraiser that went straight to Hulu both should have gotten theatrical releases.
Ooh, I cannot follow you down that
Oh, that's the
dirt.
best Hellraiser sequel that's ever been made, and I will die on that hill.
Oh, I won't
So,
argue with that, but I'm not a fan of that franchise. It's definitely the best sequel in that franchise. I'll give you
I'm not a
that.
fan of it either, but it's the best idea. The second movie is a good idea, but they just executed it so poorly. And then everything else after that's garbage. But yeah.
Is it now? I like this renaissance Alien's about to have because they're about to get a TV show on FX as well.
That's what they say.
Is that coming out this year or next year?
I heard it was this year. Isn't that Blomkamp's thing? Isn't that what he's doing?
Yeah, I think so. So it's interesting. Alien's going to have two big projects this year.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because Alien is still one of the best horror movies of all time, one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. And
yeah,
I'm glad it still is. Well, I'll say I'm glad it's on its fifth life again now. So
yeah, it's got a lot of lives. I'm pumped about this next one because it's a comedy, drama, caper. Anytime you say the word movie caper, I'm in. And then you add the words Coen brother to it because it's Ethan Coen's movie.
Yeah.
Driveaway Dolls looks like it's going to be a good, this is a February release coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Qualley's in it. I love her. I think she's a really upcoming actor. Beanie Feldstein's in it. Matt Damon's got a small role in it, which I love Matt Damon just basically playing Matt Damon now these days. Pedro Pascal's in it. I'm excited about this because they've pitched it. He and Coen and his wife have pitched this around for a while and finally they're doing it. You know, he and his brother have decided to go not separate ways. They're just going to work separately now, do different things. And I'm curious to see what Ethan's first standalone is here because I like his work and I'm curious to see this movie. I really think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I agree. I saw the trailer for this not too long ago and I was like, this is definitely going to be a theater experience for me. Love the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The cast is great. I think it's going to be another home run from them.
I mean,
I have full confidence in them.
They had such a filmography, like really, and then the work that spun off of it and stuff, like it's hard to not think it'll be good, but I'm curious for that one. I'm pumped to see it. All right, what's next on your list, Nathan?
Next on my list is the sequel to Todd Phillips' billion-dollar hit from a few years ago, Joker, Folie à Deux, bringing back Joaquin Phoenix as Arthur Fleck / the Joker, and introducing Lady Gaga as Dr. Harley Quinzel / Harley Quinn. Add in the fact that it is a musical. And I'm here for it. Joaquin obviously won the Oscar for the Joker. Well-deserved. The fact you're bringing Lady Gaga in and it's going to be a full-on musical, I think that's weird enough to work. And I don't think Joaquin's one of these actors who I don't think would have come back unless it's an interesting enough script to be worth his time. So I'm very excited to see what's in it that got him to sign on again. I've long said on a bunch of different podcasts, I think the Joker is now more popular than Batman or any superhero out there. So I do think this has a chance of being a massive mega hit again based on brand recognition alone. But then you add in pop star Lady Gaga, like, come on, you've got a guaranteed hit on your hand. It's just a matter of how good it's going to be.
You've either got a guaranteed hit or you have an incredible flop waiting to happen. Like it could be a Fall I Do of like hubris. It's like, yeah. Oh, there's no way we can do this wrong until we do. So look, that first Joker movie is brilliant. I didn't love it, but it was because I went in not knowing really what I was getting. And once I realized, I was like, oh, this movie is not going to be what I thought it was. I took it for what it was. I said, you know, if this was just a movie that wasn't called Joker, mm-hmm. it would be one of the most brilliant dramas I've seen in years. It's a sad one, but the fact that it's got all that baggage to it kind of for me. So I'm curious about this one. It's one of those few where I'm going to wait to see what reaction is, not X Twitter reaction, because that's stupidness, but like what the actual like audience reaction on like Metacritic is and stuff like that. Like, do people, or and really look, I'm gonna watch your Twitter feed and go like, is Anthony railing on this or does he think it's good? And then I'm gonna go and see it. So I'm gonna let you bite the bullet on that one, my friend. See if it's good.
Yeah, and I just want to point out some other members of the cast. Brendan Gleeson joined this time, Catherine Keener. So
yeah.
I'm excited. Like you said, it's either going to be a massive hit or a dumpster fire, but I'm hopeful it's going to be a hit. And
No.
I was going to say, if I could pivot to my next movie, because it's kind of related.
Go for it.
Let's stick with the clowns. You've heard it on the show, folks. I'm a huge Art the Clown fan, and he is coming back this year in Damien Leone's Terrifier 3, which is picking up right where Terrifier 2 left off. And we are following Art as he terrorizes the citizens of Miles County on Christmas Eve. So not only do I get my man Art the Clown back, but it's a Christmas movie to boot. And I am here for it. I'm on record as saying I think he is one of the great slashers of all time, that he far supersedes the material he's given as a character. Terrifier 2 is better than Terrifier 1, which is better than All Hallows Eve. So I'm hoping Terrifier 3, Damien Leone, knocks it out of the park and gives Art a story worthy of the character. On top of that, I'm just really excited to see Lauren Lavera return as Sienna Shaw again, because she's a great final girl. So.
Oh, no, she is an incredible person. And the fact that they're bringing her back, just please do not make Art like her dad or some nonsense.
Oh, man.
We talked about that. Like, if they do that, I'm going to get mad.
I was terrified they were going that way in Terrifier 2, and I was glad that was not a reveal in that movie. I am hopeful, like you, and it's not a reveal in this one either.
Now, Lauren Lavera is one of my favorite modern horror final girls, you know, girl, female heroines or whatever. She's way better than either of the Carpenter sisters in the latest Scream franchises, and I'll die on that hill. And I like her. I think she's got so much gravitas, and I'm curious to see what she does career-wise, but I'm pumped that she's coming back for this. And I'm with you. I want to see Terrifier 3 now too, because I'm you've gotten me interested in this. I'm Terrifier curious, Anthony.
I am so that makes me so happy, Jay.
Yes, I want to know.
And I am eagerly anticipating my invite to talk this movie and the sequel as we get closer to October.
Yeah, for anyone that listened to last October, we won't trick Anthony this time. We'll actually just do the show. But I invite all of you to go back and check that out if you want to. I got to talk about one, though, that's coming out in late March that's also a sequel to a very successful franchise. And one that I didn't, the first time I saw the last iteration of it, I was like, I don't know if this is any good. And then I watched it again. I was like, no, this is actually really good. I'm pumped for a Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, because on rewatch, Afterlife is so much fun and it's so good. And I think I had to get over in my head that the best Ghostbusters sequel is actually the video game Ghostbusters.
Oh, that video game is awesome.
It's a great game. It's a great story. Too bad they'll never make it because it's done. But Dan's involved in this. Aykroyd's involved in this again. Of course, Jason Reitman's involved. You've got Gil Kanan taking over the directing, and he's also co-writing in this. And you've got all the cast from the last one that worked. You've got McKenna Grace, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, Paul Rudd, but they're also bringing in Bill, Dan, Ernie Hudson, Annie Potts, and they're not just cameoing. They're actually going to be like full characters in this movie. I'm excited about this. Plus, that trailer looks awesome. The idea is a frozen ghost in New York. You live outside of New York, Anthony. You see it. I'm like, that is a city built to be frozen over. Like, it's just, it looks cool on movies when they do that. And I'm pumped for Frozen Empire.
What also has me excited, I was a huge fan of the Ghostbusters animated TV show. Yes. And this premise looks like it could have been an episode of the animated TV show. So yeah. If they take more inspiration from the TV show, I'm all for that. Like, yes, give that to me. It looks good. Slimer has started appearing on posters. So I'm glad they're bringing Slimer back.
Yep.
I'm all in on this. This will be an opening night viewing for me.
You know, we teased it early, and I'm going to say now, I'm mad that they're making it in two parts, but I understand why, because it is a dense book, movie, musical. Wicked Part 1 coming out late November. Dude, Wicked is one of those shows that I didn't get to see it in New York. The touring stuff is all I've ever seen. But that soundtrack, like if I have a long road trip coming, man, I just throw that on because it's going to take up time. And it's one of the few Broadway musicals where I feel like if you listen to the soundtrack, you get the story, but there's like a whole other 2 hours that you don't get that are a part of it. You're like, Dear Evan Hansen, if you listen to that soundtrack, you pretty well got it. Like, there's not a ton of integral dialogue in between it. Whereas Wicked has like a whole other show. Then it has all these songs. And I am blown away. But the cast looks awesome. Everyone involved in this looks like they're really down for it. Again,
I mean, Jeff Goldblum as a wizard. Come on.
He's perfect. He's perfect. I love the casting of this because you can't get the original Broadway cast at this point. They've aged away from it, which is fine. I don't want them to do it. I'm pumped for this. And I have a feeling they haven't said it. If they're going to break this, it's going to end at Defying Gravity. And then we're going to
100%.
I mean, yeah, that's where the show breaks. I mean, this, it makes sense. I'm pumped for this. Like, that they've already got this shot and they're still shooting, you know, now into the end of the year. I'm pumped for this, man. And I want it to be good. Please let it be good. I hate that I'm going to have to wait a year between parts. I wish if we were going to do this part one, part two mess, we do what Twilight gave us and do one. And then like in the spring, here's the new one. Like, we're not going to make you wait, you know, but I wish they had done that with this, but I get why they're going to stretch it out.
I'm so glad you brought this one up. This was going to be the next one I brought up as well. Wicked is my favorite musical ever. I've seen this multiple times on Broadway, including with the original cast. Mm. And this is one of those musicals that they have been, that's been in development hell for years to become a movie. So when they finally announced a director and the cast, Elphaba and Galinda, I'm like, oh, wow, it's actually getting some traction. But I'm still not convinced it's coming out. But then when I started seeing set pictures and a full cast list, I'm like, this is actually happening. And I can't freaking wait.
I'm so jealous that you've not only seen this on Broadway multiple times, that you got to see it with Adina and Kristen. I'm mad now. So, I've only seen YouTube bootlegs of that. And it looked awesome. So,
I mean, it was as magical as you'd expect it to be.
Yeah.
Like you said, the cast is great. I even think Ariana Grande is going to surprise a lot of people as Glinda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really hope it's good. I think it's going to be good. And I think I'm going to be really pissed when it ends. I'm going to have to wait a full year for part two.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to hold for this. All right. So
one last thing about this one. I also think you're 100% correct. It's going to end up Defying Gravity. It's a natural break point where everyone turns on her. Has to end that way. But with two-hour movies, that's like an hour of new material that wouldn't be on the Broadway show. The book is also very popular, so I'm excited, and it's very good. So I'm excited to see what else they pull from the book to pad this out a bit.
Yeah, I would tell people, like, if you're a fan of Wicked, the musical and stuff like that, and you haven't read, I'm not talking about the book, I mean like the actual book that got written for it that started the whole thing, read the book. It's a different experience. It's not entirely different, but there's a lot going on in that book that they didn't put on the stage.
It's a darker experience.
Yes, it is. As tends to be in the written word, by the way. This is like a real, real dark. I'm going to take a moment here on Filmstrip, by the way, and make a book recommendation to the world, by the way, because we just talk about dark books and it just hits me. Daniel Krauss wrote a book in 2023 that I did over the holidays. I spent some time with. It's called Whale Fall. And Anthony, I've got to tell you, whether you read it or you do audiobook of it, it's one of the most intense experiences that I've had with literature in a long time. It's about it's about a diver who, through circumstances that are not entirely far-fetched, gets swallowed by a sperm whale. And the entire book is, each chapter is broken down to flashbacks in his life and how much PSI he's got left in his air tank to survive. And it wastes no time getting you to that whale. It is good. It's beyond good, but it's also like, even beyond like the action and the horror of that, there's also like a deep, like, family drama at the center of it. It's so good. I don't know how they're going to make it into a movie. I think it's already been optioned. I'd be really curious to see who gets a hold of it and does it, but oh man, it's right. But Whale Fall is a side recommend for something that came out last year to everybody. But whether you do audiobooks or you do books, I recommend Whale Fall.
Adding it to my list. That sounds claustrophobic and terrifying just hearing the premise.
It is all of that and more. I'm going to end my list with one. We could go on for hours with this, but I'm going to do one that's going to come out next Christmas Day.
I think me and you, this is the one I was going to end on too. So I think we're right on the same page.
Robert Eggers, Bill Skarsgård, Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah.
I I love the original Murnau Nosferatu. I think it's one of the scariest things I've ever watched, and it has no dialogue in it. If you haven't watched it, people, you owe it to yourself to do it. It's basically free on the internet these days. I cannot wait to get my eyes on this because Robert Eggers makes gothic weird stuff, and he makes it so unnervingly frightening. And the fact that he's got Skarsgård, he's got Nicholas Holt, he's got Aaron Taylor Johnson in this, Willem Dafoe, who played one of these in like the John Malkovich movie about the director years ago.
Shadow of the
Shadow of
Vampire,
the
which
Vampire.
is a
Yes.
fantastic movie.
Yes, and he's great in it. And Lily Rose Depson, I am here for this movie, man. It's a family tradition of mine. Go see a movie during the holidays. Christmas Day, I'll actually be in the mountains. With the day I get out of that mountain, I'm hitting a theater and watching this movie.
Here's the thing. I think Nosferatu, I wish it got a Halloween release. Yeah, I'm with you. The original is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. The horror genre, you could argue, wouldn't be what it is or wouldn't exist as a genre if it wasn't for that movie. And I cannot wait to see Robert Eggers' take on this classic tale. Everything he said about this film and how Bill Skarsgård just disappears completely into the role has me excited. The few stills we got of Willem Dafoe and Nicholas Holt, Lily Rose Depp as well with the shadow of Count Orlok. Like, I'm excited. Part of me is like, I personally don't need to see a trailer. I almost don't want to even see what he looks like. Like, I'm good with just a poster of that iconic shadow image with his hands and like, yes, sold their opening day. The less I see, the better. I want to go in and just experience it all for the first time opening night, which if it truly stays on that Christmas release day, that is what I will be doing Christmas opening night. So.
I'm with you. I call that pulling a Brock. Shout out to my friend Brock from Now Playing Podcast fame and things like that. He goes in as cold as possible on a movie when he's gonna, review one, or just if it's something he really wants to see. And I have like blocked all the words on my social media. When the trailer comes out, don't send it to me. I don't want to know. I'm already there. I'm gonna see this. I just want to experience this for what it is. 'Cause I'm with you, man. I'm already into the idea. I just need to see how they're going to do it now. And they've handed it to exactly the right people.
100%. I just hope the Christmas release date doesn't hurt it. I do find it an odd release date for the movie about a vampire. A scary vampire, not an Edward Cullen type vampire. So I really hope they know what they're doing. I hope the trailer sell people. We're obviously already sold. Yeah, this is easily one of my most anticipated movies of the year. I'm with you. Normally, trailers don't ruin an experience for me, but this one, I will be actively avoiding everything for this movie. Yep. So.
I want to see this one, like I say, just cold into it because it's going to be good. There's going to be lots of things coming out in the next year, and we're going to cover parts of them here on Filmstrip. We don't do a lot of like as time releases and things like that necessarily, but we do try to keep up with what's going on. And moreover, we're going to try to do more of this kind of stuff this year. As we already told you, Anthony and I are going to start our, I guess, side quill show from our two shows, where we're going to do Change My Movie Mind. We're going to talk about movies that are movie opinions and try to get the other person to either agree with or at least understand the argument thereof. And I mean, this is going to be stuff, y'all, that's it's all in good fun. We're not going to sit here and yell at each other. We're doing this specifically because 2024 is going to be one of the worst political years of our entire lives. And so, to give you a break from the hell that that is, Andy and I have decided to try to be fun and just talk about fun stuff, like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? We're gonna do that one, but that kind of topic, and have a good time. And like I said, bring on some of our podcast friends to do that. Obviously, here on Filmstrip, we're gonna be reviewing movies. We're kind of on our bi-weekly release schedule. That's mostly what we're doing. But I'm also gonna drop something else here, Anthony, that the folks don't know about yet. But I'm gonna say Filmstrip is going Star Trek this year. every month and twice in 1 month, I'm going to have on my friend Nate, who did Days of Thunder with me way back in the year. I mean, the biggest Star Trek fan of though. He and I are going to review the entire Star Trek cinematic universe this year. And starting with Star Trek, the motion picture, that'll come out later here in January. So I'm pumped for those because I'm not a Trekkie. I scantly watched the original series in syndication growing up, watched a lot of the movies, not all of them, didn't watch really any of the Next Generation, just was kind of aware of it. But I've seen a lot of the movies, and of course, you know, Nate, again, the big Star Trek fan, so we're going to be doing those here on Filmstrip, and then, goodness, man, the stuff y'all put out on Tis the Podcast, like, is just enormous, the catalog you've got going, and even with your Patreon stuff, which is one of the best Patreons to follow, so tell people what 2024's got in store for the TTP fan.
Lots of good stuff. We're going to have Jay on to discuss Buffy's Christmas episode. We're going to do our annual month of Halloween in October, which I'm sure Jay will come back for. I know Lindsay and Ron will be on again. Last year, one of our most highly downloaded episode ever was this enormous horror bracket I did with Ron and Lindsay,
yes.
Matt Spaulding and Kendall Foray. And I have a 2024 one in mind. So hopefully we might be able to get Jay to come on this one this year as well. We'll see if he agrees, but yeah, tons of Christmas stuff, TV shows, movies, bunch of new stuff coming up. So yeah, check us out. linktree.com/podcast.
Absolutely. All that will be linked in the podcast description here of this episode. So Anthony, thanks again for coming on the kickoff episode of 2024 here on Filmstrip Sessions. Really appreciate you. And thanks so much for chopping up, talking movies with us here.
Yeah, thank you. I had a blast as always.
Folks, thanks for listening to this podcast. Of course, you can find this podcast everywhere podcasts are found. Just go to filmstrippodcast.com. That's going to take you to all of our distribution links. Please share the show on your social media and tag us at filmstrippod on the social media of your choice. We appreciate your support. We've been going for, 14 years strong now, so big back catalog in there and more to come, as you can hear. Always a lot of fun to interact with y'all here on the internet, so let us know what you think about the show, and we appreciate your support. So for my co-host Ron and Lindsay, for my friend Anthony, and for all of you out there in the pod family and pod world, welcome to 2024, and we'll talk to you again soon.